Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q.
Hello, Jill. How are you today?
I'm meh. How are you?
Meh.
All right. What a day to talk about self-care then, right?
I know. I want to be honest and tell you that I almost bailed because I feel so meh. And my eyes are swollen from a couple of hours of tears. And my throat hurts because I sat in my car at Whole Foods and literally screamed expletives into my windshield. I almost canceled.
Well, we like to keep it real here. And I do appreciate you showing up. I didn't scream expletives at my windshield, but that's actually because my car battery is dead, amongst other things right now. So I haven't been in the car. But yeah, so anyways, neither of us, I think, are feeling at our sunshine best.
No.
And yet, you know, maybe that is a really good time to talk about self-care and how even if we have tools and resources, it's not like there's a magic trick that works all the time.
I think that's true. And I actually think that that's probably the biggest reason that I said, you know, that I kind of rallied and said, nope, I'm going to show up. Because I do think that a lot of times it's easy to think, like if you're hearing somebody talk about self-care, or I feel this way about positive mindset and high vibe, if you hear it all the time, but you're really going through some challenges, it's really hard to feel like any of that is actually accessible. And I taught yoga today and I shared this with my yoga class and I said, it's not that we feel the negative emotions, that's not the low vibe. It's the judgment that we have around ourselves when we feel those negative emotions. This morning, I had a ton of resentment towards my ex-husband, a ton of resentment that just was bubbling up in memories. And I had to, my self-care has actually started giving myself permission to feel the resentment without judging the fact that I feel the resentment, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And just let myself scream into the windshield if I need to, or cry if I notice my heart is breaking or whatever. But it's, I think so often, one of the things that makes challenging times so challenging is that we judge ourselves for not being high vibe or happy, or why can't I just get through this day? I think it's the self-judgment that hurts the worst.
Yeah. And I think that happens so much with self-care because, again, in our case, we spent our last episode talking about all these different tools, different things we do that help us. And I have just been feeling like crud cakes today, and actually for sporadically throughout this entire month. And it's like, I tell myself, Jill, snap out of it. Meditate, do this, drink more water, eat kale. I don't know, hug a cow. I don't know, but, and it still doesn't work. I mean, I do feel there are things that help me feel better, but it's like I get back into the state of not feeling good. And then it's like, oh, you're back here again. The magic trick didn't work.
The magic trick.
Right.
Yes. I was trying to tap today, tap on the resentment. Mm-hmm. And I could like hear my inner child say, this is bullshit. I don't want you to tap me away. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to the fact that I feel this way. And I sometimes forget that that is a learned skill, to actually let ourselves feel the feelings that we have.
Yeah.
That's an okay thing.
Yep.
Well, so do you know what kind of started it for you, or are you just, something is happening and maybe you're integrating new wisdom or something?
Yes, I would like to. I'm just integrating so much new wisdom right now that it feels like death by a thousand paper cuts. It's all things that I know I can handle. It's all things I know I can solve and work through, but it just feels like a lot. It feels like a lot of things all at once that, you know, maybe I just don't have the energetic, emotional, financial capacity for right now. I didn't make enough coffee this morning. I don't know.
I listened to a podcast yesterday, and now I wished I could remember what they called it. But I recently did a breathwork session, and she called it the trauma vortex, when things start to pile up, a lot of things at once. And she said it's like those, she called it the trauma vortex. I kind of considered it more like those daily hassles. So it's like just those little things that start to pile up, but they enter this vortex that becomes like this cyclone that just kind of runs through our lives. And I think that happens a lot. For me, one of the things that's kind of started my spiral this past couple of days is I was on vacation with my kids. I went to Scotland, and three of my kiddos and I went. And I got on Facebook, and a friend of mine made a comment about self-care. And she was talking about how important self-care has become for her relationship, not just with herself, but with her husband. And somebody responded to her and kind of criticized her and said that her self-care was selfish. And so I responded to the guy, to the man who said this to her, and I said, you know, it's comments like that that make women not dare share their stories. And we need to hear one another's stories. Women need to know that they're not alone. And I'm going to say men need to know it too. Like, I understand this isn't a gendered conversation, but I think that women who are mothers, you know, that matters to me so much, get silenced so often when they even try to say anything about mental load or emotional fatigue or compassion fatigue. Like, anytime we try to use some of these words that are really coming into our vernacular, I think women get silenced a lot. So I responded to this gentleman, and he sent, it was three full posts. Facebook limits how many characters. So he had three full comments in response to me. But the first thing that he said is, well, I just looked at your Facebook page, and the rainbow gives me an indication that no matter how educated you think you are, you have been led astray. And then he proceeded to basically discredit everything about me. And he dug deep. Like, he didn't just look and see a rainbow flag on my Facebook cover photo. He dug deep, and just accusation after accusation. This person doesn't mean anything to me at all. But because I was on vacation with my kiddos, I was having some emotions regarding some memories that were coming up for me. I was feeling really vulnerable about some emotions that I was having about my ex-husband. So all of these other things were happening that I was managing. But as soon as this man came in, this man that I don't know came in and said, yeah, basically you're crap, because I have a rainbow on my Facebook page, and my whole, like, it just kind of spiraled from there. And I was just thinking how easy we can get knocked off of balance when we're already barely teetering. Like, we're barely, you know, we're barely walking on that balance beam, and somebody comes in and just pushes us just a teeny little bit, and it's enough to send us over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that gentleman sounds absolutely delightful. Like, he is absolute. It's a very healthy, calm, you know, sane-minded individual that deep dives into a total stranger's social media to write them a Facebook essay about how special they are. Anyways, I'm sorry that happened. And yeah, and I completely agree. That's a great point too, that sometimes it is the smallest thing that is the thing that does it. That is the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's hard. I mean, it's easy to rebalance, right? Like, it's easy to say, well, just get back up and say he doesn't matter. But it's not always that easy. And I think that's what we were talking about last week with the self-care episode, is we do really have to be our own advocates. We have to know when we are off balance and how to care for that. And we talked a lot about tons of different tools that you and I have used, from journaling to tapping. I can't remember if we talked about the that Hawaiian forgiveness prayer.
I don't think we did. I don't recall you saying that.
Oh, I love that prayer that practice.
Bonus episode.
Look it up.
I will. If I can figure out how to spell it, absolutely. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes so everyone can look it up. What I love from what you were saying is that we know when we're off balance. We know that there's different roads we can take to try and get better or perpetuate the spiral and make it worse. So, you know, in the past, when I felt this way, I would be like, okay, well, how much whiskey do I have on hand? What vodka do I have on hand? I'm going to go hide in my room. I'm going to go blast music and try and escape from this life I have. And now I think at least the benefits of all the different self-care that I've tried is that I realize that I know I can eventually, like, that this is a temporary state. Yeah. And I can get out of this state. I know I will feel better. I know I can do things that will help me feel better. And it's just finding the energy and the willpower to say, okay, I can do this today. And then tomorrow I'm that much better to be able to do this and this, and then this, this, and this. So I think it's nice to have a variety of tools in our pocket that we could pull from too, because, you know, when you hit those low points or you hit those hard points, it can feel easier to go towards the maladaptive resources instead and just say, fine, screw it all. I'm already in this spiral of doom.
Well, and do you find that the same thing works for you every time? Like,
no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like I said, I could feel myself literally rejecting the tapping today.
Yeah.
What my body really wanted was to scream. And that sounds maladaptive, but it got the emotion out of my body. And I think that's one of the things that we forget, is that all of those emotions are really our heart trying to tell us that something is off with the way we're thinking.
Which is a great segue into discussing more of one of my personal favorite methods of self-care that I use, that I talked about in the last episode. I wanted to go into a little bit more today, and then you are going to share some interesting new self-care tool that you are studying.
Yes, I'm so excited to hear about yours.
But yeah, so you talked about screaming and how good that feels. And one of the tools that I love so much and that I talk about a lot in my book, Perfectly Queer, is craniosacral therapy, or CST. Mm. And it's a very gentle body work that uses 5 grams of pressure, which is the weight of a nickel. The client is fully clothed on the table or the chair or whatever, wherever they're positioned. It's very easy to do CST. I've worked on newborns. My son Oliver was worked on when he was still in utero. My oldest client was 104 years old, and he was in his lounge chair watching baseball while I worked on him. So I love craniosacral therapy because there are very few contraindications. It's very, I don't want to say accessible is the word, because it's a therapy. And so there is, you know, a cost to it, and finding a trained practitioner to help, but it's available to a wide variety of people. Mm. And a big part of craniosacral therapy for me was opening up my throat, that they call it the avenue of expression. Because while craniosacral therapy works a lot on the fluid and the membrane surrounding the brain and the spinal cord all the way down to the sacrum, and palpating physical restrictions in the body, there's a huge somato-emotional component to it. It's about the memories and the emotions that we hold in our tissues. And for me, as a perfectionist and a people pleaser for so many years, I spent decades swallowing my words, swallowing what I wanted to say. Not surprising, had thyroid issues in my early 30s. that I was like, where did these come from? This doesn't happen in our family. I'm not sure what's going on here. And craniosacral therapy was helpful in holding the space for me, opening up the physical tissue in those areas and energetically as well, making it easier for me to say the things that I needed to say. Yeah. Whether that was how I was feeling, memories that were coming up for me, I'm gay, whatever I needed to say, it came out in those sessions. And I think it's fascinating because, again, I started as a CPA, my accountant brain. When I first heard about cranial sacral therapy, I was like, bah, this is garbage. If you check out the Wikipedia page on cranial sacral therapy, it's all about the quackery that is cranial sacral. And yet you can go to like Cleveland Clinic or any other, I mean, a lot of University of Michigan has done a ton of research around this. The NFL was doing a lot of concussion research with the Upledger Institute on craniosacral therapy. There's a lot of hard research and science around CST. And even still, it's like, until I actually had the work done, I didn't understand how it could work or what the benefit could possibly be. And it is without a doubt one of the biggest game changers I've experienced in my life, because it's brought to the surface things that I had buried so deeply that I didn't, I almost never felt like I had a space to even share that they were issues in the first place. And so being able to let those things out and release them, after I have a CST session, I just want to hug the world. I'm like, I am all love. I feel so good. I love myself. I love everybody else. I can conquer any problem. It's just, it's fascinating work. It's amazing what comes out in every single session. And it's so different every single time.
So I'm curious, because I've looked for cranial sacral therapists here in Dallas, and I don't know why, but I've not been able to find one. So do you think that they're everywhere? And I'm just not good at finding that.
Actually, that's a great point. So Upledger Institute, who does, Dr. John Upledger was credited with founding craniosacral therapy. He was an osteopathic physician who passed away in 2012. But on the Upledger website, they have a find a therapist page where you can even go by course. So if you want to make sure that your practitioner has had somato-emotional release training, you can specify the search by that, but these trainings occur worldwide. So there really are, I've met therapists all over the place. We have a gaggle of them here in Tampa Bay alone, where we used to meet monthly for study groups. And it was and a bunch of 60, 70, 80 year olds. And it was like meeting with the X-Men. It was fascinating what they could all do and how they would all perceive the restrictions within people's bodies differently. Some people could see it. Some people could sense it, hear it. It's interesting.
So as a yoga teacher, I can do that a lot. Like I can see somebody walk into a room and go, oh, that person is storing emotion in that part of their body, or I can watch them, you know, move. So that's interesting. Yeah. It's super interesting to me. I'm always a little bit nervous to talk about that because exactly what you just said, like, in some worlds, that sounds like witchcrackery, but it is really interesting. And I think the more that you're right, there's so much research about some of these more alternative methods of healing. And the more that we're learning about, I just did a workshop on fascia. Again, as a yoga therapist, I work on people's fascia a lot. And when I worked with teenage athletes, I was always helping their fascia be healthy. And there's so many emotions that get stored in the fascia. So not just in the hips and not just the muscles. And but that fascia just stores so much. So I'm curious, again, maybe even for our listeners, but so how often do you go to a cranial sacral therapist?
It really depends. For a while, my kids have had craniosacral therapy since birth. Sophie had it within 24 hours of being born. Like I said, Oliver had it in utero. He was delivered while I had craniosacral therapy almost the entire time. It's actually in a book called An Answer to Your Pain. That was the first book I was ever published in. I shared my birth story of Oliver and craniosacral work.
Oh, I love that.
But we all used to go once a month to get a tune-up, and it was incredible. But again, it's our therapist lives an hour and a half away, so it's 3 hours of driving. And there were times where it just either became cost prohibitive or schedule prohibitive, and we fell off for a while. And so now we've kind of gone back to it, and I'm trying to at least quarterly make sure that I go for my own sessions and the kids go for their sessions as well. But if I could do it monthly, I would absolutely do it monthly. And then to answer your question, as far as like, do you know what either you want to work on or what you think is going to come up? For me, and again, this must be the perfectionist that's still living strongly, almost every time I go in, I'm like, I don't know what we're going to work on today. I'm feeling great. And the next thing I know, all of this like anger and like, oh, I had a session a few months ago where I could see in my mind's eye like purple and green smoke. It looked like a Disney villain to me, pouring out of my heart, all of this fear and anger and rage and panic and everything, all the emotions leading up to and in Pride Month that I feel, because, you know, again, with all the rainbows comes all the fabulous comments. All I had stored a lot of that, and I kept telling myself, I'm fine. These people don't bother me. I'm fine. These people don't bother me. And I didn't realize that the physical pain in my back is where I was storing all of these really negative feelings. And so it felt good to just remind myself in that session that I was safe and I didn't have to, I could feel these feelings, but I didn't have to hold on to them. I didn't have to keep them.
I think that, again, I'm going to go back to what I said in the beginning. I believe it's probably the most radical act of self-care that we can offer ourselves is simply to let the emotion out.
Yes.
Like, if you see something funny, laugh. If you walk by somebody and you see that they've got a beautiful smile on their face, compliment them. If you feel anger, express it. And as you're talking about the cost of cranial sacral therapy, and I think I've shared this before, at the peak of my family's really deepest struggles, every single person in my home needed therapy. But to do that would have been, I mean, 8 people times $200, that's $1,600 a week. Like, therapy is really inaccessible for so many people. And some of these alternative treatments are also really inaccessible. The most accessible thing that we have is expressing the emotions so they don't stay in.
Right. Yeah.
So fascinating to me.
It is. It's really neat work. It surprises me every single time. And I will say, because again, I'm also a craniosacral therapy practitioner. Once I got more into this stuff and I was like, this is fascinating. I need to learn more about it. I still occasionally take appointments, very rarely, because I need to make sure that I'm in the right energy and headspace to be doing it. But I always ask the client if they want to set an intention for the session, because there are sometimes when people come in and they say, well, this is what's bothering me, or this is what I feel like I need to either talk through, or this is where I'm feeling a pain or tightness or whatever. And then sometimes they just say, let's let the body do its thing. Let's see where this goes. I'm just always so grateful and so amazed to be a witness and to hold space for somebody while they're processing some of their most challenging things. Because again, we also don't always have a lot of spaces where we can feel held and safe to really say and do what we need to. And I almost feel like I should mention right now too, because this is also in my book, I came out in 2 different craniosacral therapy sessions that were 6 years apart with 2 different practitioners. The difference in those sessions is that one therapist, the later session, held a safe space for me to say what I needed to say And the one thing that we were always told in our craniosacral therapy session is your client's truth is their truth. So we're not there to judge or to guide them to what we think is the truth. Their truth is their truth. And in my first craniosacral therapy session, when I came out, and in that session, I believe I had told her that I was bisexual. I knew that wasn't entirely true, but that felt safest to me. And she ended up saying that I was confused about my feelings towards my friends, but that's okay. It's common for girls to get confused about their feelings towards their friends. And I made a commitment to a man, and I had to honor that commitment in my marriage. And so again, you can have a therapy that is incredibly beneficial, but the quality or the, I don't know what you would say about, depending on the practitioner, it can still vary greatly your results.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's true with anything. And I think that that's one, again, it's one of the things that I think makes seeking help so difficult. And again, going back to that mental and emotional load, God, help seeking in and of itself requires some level of energy. And a lot of times I know that I've been to a point where I'm so depleted that like seeking help even feels difficult to me. You know, just trying to find a therapist that's a good fit, a good match. I currently have a therapist that I get along well with, but I find that she misinterprets me a lot, or I misspeak. I still haven't really been able to figure it out, but we've finally realized that I have to come back the next week and almost disagree with her so that then we can actually get to the root of how I'm feeling. Because a lot of, again, I don't know if it's because I don't follow a normal trajectory, or I'm still in a point where I am afraid to use my voice to actually say the words that I really mean. And so it takes her, one of the things that happened recently was she made a comment to me about my PhD. And she said, is it possible that you got your master's degree and PhD to try to prove that you were worth something to your husband, that you were actually a smart person or a worthy person, or that you had value? And like that just cut me to the core, but it took me a week to really ponder that and think about it before I went back and said, actually, I didn't like that you said that. And it felt like it took away this dream that I'd had since I was 11 years old. Like I wanted to get a PhD forever. But then by being able to kind of not really argue, but disagree with her or to defend myself, then we were able to have this beautiful conversation about, now how much more can I defend myself? So again, against this guy, you know, who criticized me on Facebook, to actually be able to say, nah, I disagree or whatever, instead of letting him just shut me up or silence me or put me down, you know. In just three long rants, he took aim at my education. He took aim at my failed marriage. He took aim at my motherhood. And obviously I'm a bad mom, right? Because I have a rainbow on my Facebook page.
Same so, girl, same.
I know, bad parent here. Yeah. So I think it's interesting. Self-care is not as easy as I think we make it sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Tricia, we've done it again. We have so many words to say, so many more things to say, that I think we're going to have to take a break right now so that our fine listeners can go grab their kids from camp or go to the bathroom that they've been holding off on, or go mow their lawns or whatever they need to do. And let's continue the rest of our conversation in next week's episode. What do you think?
I love it. And obviously we're working with two people who have stuff stuck in our throats.
So many words, all the words. So okay. Words. Until next week.
See you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Queue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveinthequeue@gmail.com. Until next time, Queue Crew.